Good morning and welcome to our service at Whitley Bay Baptist Church today. We hear a lot in the news about power politics and its results, from those who want to control and exercise power over individuals, whether at work or in the family, through to nations juggling for power with one another, to protect what they have or to enlarge their territory and influence. I guess that's what we saw a couple of weeks ago in the violence between Israel and Palestine. Today, in our look at what a citizen of the Kingdom of God is like, we come to the third beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And we see once again that Jesus' way, the way of the kingdom, is so radically different from the ways of the world. Our speaker this morning is Paul Revel, who is the Regional Minister for Mission of the Northern Baptist Association. And we're very grateful to Paul for speaking to us today and bringing us God's word. Let us commit our time together to the Lord. Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you today to praise your name and give you all the glory. We have nothing of ourselves to bring except that which you have given us. Now we pray, give us the desire to use that which you have given us, treasure which we hold in fragile earthen vessels, to use it only for your glory and in whatever service you call us to. We thank you that you have dealt with us kindly and gently, not as our sins deserve. And we pray that we might have attentive ears and hearts to hear what you are saying to us this morning. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
People, remember your people. we come into this time of prayer, let's quieten our hearts and minds. Thank you, Father, that we can confidently approach you, knowing that this is your desire, knowing that you hear us. In you there is peace. You reassure us, do not be afraid. And we thank you that we can entrust our cares and concerns, our busyness and our full minds to you, knowing that you are Lord of all.
We praise you that you are a just God, and we pray for justice in our world. We pray particularly for recent situations in Myanmar, Belarus and Chad, as well as for the present ceasefire between Israel and Palestine. We pray for those campaigning against injustice and oppression, whether in this country or elsewhere in the world.
We pray for this country. We thank you for the rollout of the coronavirus vaccine and continue to lift that to you. We pray for our leaders, that they would lead with wisdom, integrity and compassion.
We pray for our area here in North Tyneside, and especially during this current increase in coronavirus numbers. We pray that this new variant will be brought under control in this area and other areas across this country, in India and other countries in the world.
We give thanks for and pray for Joel and his family as they prepare to join us later in the year. Please cover them with your protection. Bless them and be in the preparations for the move and smooth the way. As we pray for Joel, we pray also for the leaders and congregation at his current church, that you would be with them as they seek a new minister.
We pray for also for those on our prayer list, for Kate, Tom and Eric, as well as those applying for and involved in the process of appointing a new caretaker cleaner for our church building. We pray for the Shrub souls following their recent sudden return due to the situation in Chad. Please be with them and guide them as they adjust and as they make decisions for the future. We include David, Lucy and little Sophie in that same prayer, with thanks for the willingness of both of these families to serve you in this way. We pray for grace, justice and hope for Chad at this time. We pause now to name others known to us in need of your hand in their lives.
And now we say together,
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. There are two readings this morning. One is from Philippians chapter 2, and the other one's Matthew 18, the first five verses. This is the one from Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The second reading is Matthew 18, the first five verses. At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me." Thanks be to the Lord for the reading of his word.
Hello, Whitley Bay Baptist Church. It's great to be with you this Sunday. And thank you for the opportunity to share something of a reflection on God's word with you. So today we're thinking about the beatitude, the blessing of humility. Blessed are the meek, or the humble, or the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Now, in the Beatitudes, Jesus sets out the values of God's upside-down kingdom. And we see this no more so the case than in the third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, or the humble, or the gentle. It's so opposite to the way the world works. Surely, Jesus, people would have said to him, that's not the right way. If you want to inherit the earth, if you want to inherit land and territory and empires and kingdoms, you need to be bold, you need to be powerful, you need to push your way through, even be violent, ruthless, aggressive. You don't care for others, you push them out of your way. That's the way to get to the top and to inherit the earth. And we see that even in today's culture, don't we? We value people who are go-getters. We value people who achieve their dreams, who are ambitious, who are successful, our celebrities. And yet Jesus seems to point the opposite way. If we want to be of significance in God's kingdom, if we want to inherit all that God is creating and recreating, then we are to go down towards the bottom. We're to let others to get to the top. We're not to be upwardly mobile, but downwardly mobile. Shane Claiborne, who was speaking recently at our National Baptist Assembly, said this. He said, be careful if you're on the ladder on the way up, because you may find yourself meeting Jesus on his way down. The call to follow Jesus is the call towards less significance, less acclaim, less status, towards intentional poverty, towards doing without, to associating and being with those who have little status in the eyes of the world. So let's think a little bit about what humility is. I guess it's easiest by saying what the opposite is. It's the opposite of pride. Remember how in the Magnificat, at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, we have this wonderful prophecy which says that God will exalt the humble but cast down the proud. Pride is the centre and the root of all sin. It's about putting ourselves at the centre of our lives, seeking status and importance for ourselves and pushing God and others to the edge. Well, humility is the reverse. It's about putting ourselves out of the centre and putting God at the heart of all things, and also allowing others to become more central than we are ourselves. Humility. Here's what one former president of a large country just across the ocean from us said a few years ago. I do actually have much more humility than a lot of people would think. Well, if you think you've got humility, then probably actually it's the opposite that is taking its place. Humility is about giving up yourself. This week, I was on a pilgrimage walk from Heavenfield on Hadrian's Wall to Durham, one of the new Northern Saints trails that have been inaugurated to Durham Cathedral. And one of the people on this walk was a young woman called Rebecca. Early 20s, she's an archaeologist. She trained at Durham University. And she was in a mainstream archaeological work. She was getting paid for doing digs. But she was getting a bit disillusioned by digging up remains that then had to get built over car parks and buildings and weren't left available for people to see. There's not much money in excavating things that then stay excavated. And she was particularly taken by some ruins on the outskirts of Durham, a place called Bow Repair, which is a manor house where the monks of Durham used to retreat to in the summer when the stink of Durham got too bad. And it was all overgrown with weeds, just a complete mess, and people had trashed it a bit with litter, and it was hardly known about. And she's managed to bring people to get involved. She's got money to raise to do some work there, and it's been beautifully restored. So you can now walk around it, and there's proper surfaces to walk on, and it's all beautifully cleaned up. But to do that, she actually had to more or less sell her possessions and gave them to this work of preserving this ruin. And now she is living in intentional poverty. She doesn't have her own home. She moves between three or four different homes with landlords or landladies who look after her. She hardly has any possessions, just a few clothes in each place. And there's something of humility that I saw in her. She didn't talk about it. Only other people told me that this was the life she lived. It's simply a deliberate intention to not seek to be important in the eyes of others and to have lots of stuff. Maybe also it's important to say what humility is not, because we can often misunderstand humility as being somehow demeaning yourself, saying, oh, no, don't give me the credit, and putting yourself down, not valuing yourself. As Rick Warren, he of the Purpose Driven Church, says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Humility is actually about appreciating how loved, how deeply, deeply, deeply loved by our Heavenly Father we are. Humility is realizing that you're precious to God, that God holds you in his heart. It's about knowing deep down that God loves you without limit, without any conditions, irrespective of what others may think of you or what you may achieve or not achieve. These things ultimately become far less important because you know that you are held in the heart of God. No matter how many mistakes you make, regrets you carry, frailties of your character, he loves you. And so you don't need to achieve anything in the eyes of anybody else. What matters is knowing that your Father cares for you. And so knowing this love and being rooted in this love is the basis for humility. It gives us a secure foundation from which we can much more easily deny ourselves and allow others to take the place instead of us. For others to be preferentially treated, for others to receive the privileges, and for us to be willing to suffer, to go without, to follow the way of the cross, denying ourselves. Jesus was able to do all that he did because he knew deeply in every pore of his being the Father's love. Practically speaking, humility is about looking to the needs and interests of others before your own. That's what Paul draws us to in Philippians chapter 2 and gives us an example of Jesus. Even though he was in the image of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant. Looking to the needs of others, paying attention to others, spotting when they need support or help or something that will just source out a problem that they may face. And Jesus illustrates humility for us, and we've had two ways in our readings. Firstly, he says we're to become like little children. Now, in his time, a small child was of less value in Jewish culture than an adult. They were generally looked down upon. So firstly, Jesus is saying something very radical here, that actually those that we look down on, the littlest, the most weak and insignificant, are actually at the heart of the community of followers of Jesus. They're to be at the center of the kingdom of God. We're to give the young a place at the heart of our community life. So church, if you want to be humble, make room for your children. Give them a bigger place in the life of your church. Listen to them. Understand their needs. Give them a value in all the decisions you're making as you come out of pandemic. Give the needs and the interests of children the highest priority. That's what Jesus might say to us. For small children, even though they can be very upfront, they can be very confident, they can make themselves very obvious, they can sometimes dominate in a room full of people. Nevertheless, they are utterly dependent, aren't they? And humility, says Jesus, that way of humility, of following little children, is to be utterly dependent on God, to be willing to give up things because we know that our Father will provide for our needs, to trust. It's a position of trust in God. And then the second Bible passage from Luke, where Jesus says we're not to be like the rulers of the Gentiles who exercise power, who make people serve them, who call the shots. No, we're to be like a diakonos, from which we get the word deacon, a servant. Our first instinct should always be to serve others. Not people doing things for us, but doing things for others. You probably know people who are like that. I've got friends, got a couple of friends called Les and Karen. And if they come to your house and you have a meal, they're always, before you realise it, at the kitchen sink, washing up. They see the need to be done. They just get on and do it. And it's instinctive to them. They're naturally humble people. If you say that's humility, they would deny it. They don't see it in themselves, but that is humility. The symbols of humility from the New Testament would be the basin of water and the towel. Think of Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples in John's Gospel, washing their feet, doing the job of the servant, caring to the needs in tenderness and in love. So let's get practical as we come towards a close. How can we grow in humility and practice it? Just today at the lunch table, my wife Barbara was sweeping crumbs of bread off the tablecloth. And someone went onto my lap and said, Oi, Barbara, don't brush them onto me. Whereupon my teenage daughter said, yes, do brush them onto him. That's exactly what you need, Dad. You need a lesson in humility. Well, humility is something that is, in one sense, quite hard to reach. This is what Richard Foster says. Humility, as we all know, is one of those virtues which is never gained by seeking it. The more we pursue it, the more distant it becomes. To think we have it is sure evidence that we don't, Mr. Ex-President, sir. But there are some disciplines, that Foster would say, that we can practice that just help grow that in us. Not sweeping crumbs onto your lap necessarily, but practicing the discipline of service, intentional serving of others. Firstly, it's about the attitudes we have in relationships, seeking the needs of the other first. In any relationship, you should be looking to serve the other and arguing, if you like, with another Christian about who serves the other should be the kind of arguments that we have. Don't expect to be treated any better than Jesus was treated. Humility is about letting go of your rights, not thinking about yourself and your needs, but always attending to others. Valuing all others as God's children, seeing God's image in everyone, even in those whose lifestyle and character are vastly different from your own. And holding lightly to that need for approval and favour of others, not boasting about achievements, not needing to say what you've done or where you've been. It's insecure people who need to win arguments or be in the limelight and get appreciation. And don't take success too seriously. What you've been given can easily be taken away. Real success is knowing that the Father loves you deeply and experiencing that love in daily life. And likewise, don't take yourself too seriously. Humility and service is enabling us to laugh at ourselves and not to worry if others laugh at us. And in practice? Well, how about every day making it your aim to serve somebody in some way, ideally without being noticed or being asked, doing something without getting attention or approval for it? If you're in a household with others, what are those jobs that need doing that nobody really wants to do? Can you just do something that is more than you would be expected to do and try and make that a habit? The more we get into these habits, the more they become ingrained in us and the more we're on that pathway towards humility. Guard the reputation of others. Rather than seeking your own reputation, seek to defend others, even those that you disagree with and don't get on with. Never speak ill of others behind their back or to a third party. Allow others to serve you as well. Remember at the Last Supper when when Jesus comes to Peter and says, he says, no, Lord, you shan't wash my feet. And Jesus says, well, if you don't let me serve you, then you've got no part to play in this life and work of mine. We need to be able to receive service from others, which again is a letting go of our own pride. And in church life, well, you don't need to win all the arguments. It doesn't matter for you to get your way in a discussion. You don't need to get your way in church meetings. In fact, it's better to let others have their way. And as you start to make these post-pandemic arrangements, don't be shouting for your interests. Seek for the interests of others to take priority. And in worship, don't judge what goes on and criticize what goes on according to whether it meets your needs and interests and spiritual preferences and music preferences, whatever else it may be. In worship, you should be seeking for the church to meet the needs of others rather than yourself. And maybe for some of us, not just shopping around for the church that suits me, which is so much the spirit of the age, but seeing which church is one where I can serve and meet the needs of others. And maybe encourage others to go ahead of you into places of leadership or opportunity or blessing or credit instead of yourself. This is what Mother Teresa says or said. These are a few of the ways we can practice humility. To speak as little as possible of oneself. To mind one's own business. Not to want to manage other people's affairs. To avoid curiosity. To accept contradictions and correction cheerfully. To pass over the mistakes of others. To accept insults and injuries. To accept being slighted, forgotten and disliked. To be kind and gentle even under provocation. Never to stand on one's dignity. To choose always the hardest. So let's pray together. And I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment to a life of service and humility. And maybe you can say these words with me. I'll pause for you to be able to repeat them. Lord God, my Heavenly Father, today I come before you and choose the path of humility. I set aside pride and self-centeredness. I renounce the need to stand up for my rights and privileges. I choose to serve, not to be served. I choose to give up my interests for the interests of others. I commit to denying myself, to pick up my cross and to follow the way of Jesus. I submit to you, my loving Father. I ask you now to immerse me into the unfathomable depths of your love for me. And in so doing, I ask that you will grow humility and gentleness in me. And so in return, I receive your blessings that come from humility. And I look forward to the inheritance that you lay in store, inheriting a new heavens and a new earth through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.
I'd like to thank all those who took part this morning and helped put this service together. We've been thinking about what being meek means. But we finish with this statement about real power and strength that we can know and love. It was written by Brigid the Gael in the first millennium. I arise today through a mighty strength, God's power to guide me, God's might to uphold me, God's eyes to watch over me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to give me speech, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to shelter me, God's host to secure me.